Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where summer has finally come upon us, and it is delightfully warm, not yet oppressive, which it definitely can be in Atlanta, as you know. And that is what summer's all about. As I do so often, I want to begin this episode with a prayer. This is titled The Ways of a Deceiver, and I posted it yesterday on my blog, Pushing Jesus. Father, as I observe others calling upon your name to fulfill their trivial, meaningless desires, those who are never satisfied, who always want and demand more, like craving spiritual sponges, I'm amazed at how little they understand. Mellifluously they say, "Praise the Lord," in a voice that quivers with self-serving arrogance. In their cunning hearts, they're not seeking you, but an angle to take advantage of others. They search for a way to obtain their desires without ever paying the legitimate price for it, while smiling duplicitously, deceiving the foolish. As I watch them and listen, I remember when I was young, naive and shallow, unable to discern their deceptive ways. Their hearts were devious, self-absorbed, and cunning, harboring deceit and treachery, while maintaining a facade of godly humility. In my innocence and naivete, I knew no better, believing they had been sent by you. I was convinced they had my best interest at heart, but they never did. Now, as I reflect upon their actions many years later, having weathered their malice and much, much more, I see the fruitfulness of their scheming. I look for them, but they cannot be found, while I smile at the future, regardless of what it holds, knowing that looking to you in an honest way is the only path to a life of fulfillment. Now, that's one of my favorite prayers of all time, and I actually love it. Stacy's on the line. I just want to say hello to her. And is this Robert? Robert, are you on the line with me?
I am.
Well,
I'm
you
here.
Got
can
a
you
different you've got a different telephone number that you've given there. So is that the one that you're going to use when we have our conference
unless
call?
Unless I Skype, because somehow I wiped out this number off my phone. I don't know how I did it.
Folks,
just keep
on
I'm going to call you back on my, if it's okay, I'm going to call you back on my regular phone. Or do you want me to just answer this one?
I don't care. You're fine on this phone right now. I just want to make sure that when we talk to our literary agent at 6:15, that you're on the other line, because that's when I told him to call. All right.
Yeah.
Enough of our little commercial, and let me just say this, folks. We are talking because we've done something of extraordinary value, and it comes from Robert's brilliance and my talent. Humble as we are, at any rate, Stacy, how are you doing, young lady?
I've been better, but I'm here.
Well, you know, we're just hanging in there with you. And, you know, Robert, I in waiting for you, I read a prayer that I posted, and it is something that I wrote several years ago, and, you know, just kind of based on the deceivers that we see around us so often in evangelical Christianity. And there, I posted it because I see and hear people do things in the name of the Lord that are just absolutely beyond me. I think in our society, people, when they think about taking the Lord's name in vain, they equate it with profanity. But I think that it's when they claim his authority and tell them to do things that are not based upon his will, which is clearly discernible in his word. So, that being said, well, I'm going to just say, go ahead.
Even if it's a good thing for them to do, all right, in other words, we'd say, yeah, that's God's probably pleased with people doing that kind of thing. When you go to the extent of saying, thus saith the Lord, you've just gone into the minefield, all right? And it's just not helpful to make up. See, we're not called to make up words and put them in God's mouth, right? We just aren't. We are to repeat what God has shown us, but that's it. And there are a lot of people who think they have the authority to go in and tell people what God said, when it may be something consistent with what God would say, but it's not what he said to them. So therefore, we just have to be very careful about that. So that's my 2 cents on that one, all right?
Well, that 2 cents is a good one, because I'll add another 3 and we got a nickel. And that's, I have seen and experienced these people doing these things, and it can be very, very damaging. And people don't get over it. And, it's why on that blog of mine, Pushing Jesus, people from 140 countries read it. Because there are so many people that are messed up because they do not, they've been told things that are wrong, and they believed them, and they said that because their hearts were pure, they shouldn't have a problem. But that isn't good enough. You've got to worship God in truth.
Yep.
Not
which is
just
reality.
Impurity. Yeah.
Which is the name of our book.
Yes. Which is what we're talking about at 6:15. So we're real excited about this, folks. But we just like to just tickle people's fancy. And Stacy?
Yes.
When I told Robert we were talking, I said, we're going to tell these people the next thing that we're going to do is conquering sexual addiction. Robert immediately said, "Will that be another memoir of yours, Jack?" I promise you, I went to my knees in laughter. And had an equally good comeback and said that avoiding, the lust of youth is a whole lot easier when you're no longer young. So we have too much fun, folks, on these kinds of things. But that was like a really funny moment. At any rate, Robert, go ahead. I've digressed a little bit. I'm good at that.
Well, what is the subject we're talking about today on the show?
I'm thinking that what we need to talk about, and consistently even come back to it, is grace and deception, and particularly with people who believe that they have to work in order to, that their salvation is based on what they do rather than what they believe.
Well,
a lot of
their salvation is based on God's grace to them, period. And, if it's up to us to get saved, none of us would get saved, right? That's just the long short of it. And but God in his grace reaches out to us and heals us from the inside out. And because a lot of people think that they had something to do with them getting saved. If you had something to do with you getting saved, then you need to check your whole card, because I don't know if you are saved, right? I really don't. Because from my Bible says that God sought you out, he offered you a deal, as it were, and so now your task in the salvation process is simply to receive, period, end of story. So
you know, I think that what they do, and because it's not exactly what they do is like, oh yes, I have been saved by grace. I was a sinful person. God came, sought me out, and I accepted his free gift. Now I got to work my little derriere off to keep it. And I think that that's really the sum and substance of how they view this, because almost to a person, people recognize that they were, you know, that their relationship with God is based on his loving them when they were unlovely. They get that. But the continuance of the relationship after they have invited him to come into their lives is based upon their work and not upon his continued grace. And frankly, I think that that's one of the reasons that these people, there is no abundance in their life. They talk about the abundant life, but they don't experience it.
Well, let me ask you this. When's the last time you jumped over the top of that building you're in right now?
Now, I'm still working on that one.
Okay. Did you even consider trying to do that?
No.
No? You never considered trying. Why didn't you consider trying to do that? Well, because
I knew that it was impossible.
It's too high and you're too short. You know what I mean? I mean, it becomes very obvious to a person that what they cannot do in the physical world, such as jump over the top of tall buildings. Right? I don't know how we ever, well, I guess I do know, because we don't understand the holiness of God and his righteousness. We think that somehow we can qualify by doing this or that or the other, when in fact that's not even close to the truth. And so therefore we come up with little ditties that we try to do in order, but we just soon be able to jump to the moon and back as to do something that would qualify us for salvation. And I really don't think, one of the things that happens, it's a little bit tedious to me, is sometimes invitations are, I won't say who I heard do this one, but he was smiling at the time. All you have to do is pray this little prayer and you're in. No, that's not true at all. All right? If you're not receiving an invitation from God, I don't care what you pray. You're not in. I mean, God has one stipulation, and that is that we are responding to him, period. All right? If we're responding to him, then even if we screw up the words, we're still okay. But if we sit around and say, now, let me think here. What can I say to God that qualifies me to be a child of his? Well, that's a pretty big order there, to come up with some words to make you one of his children. If someone were just to think about it a few moments, they would go, well, I don't think I can do that. And they'd be right.
All right, listen, Robert, we're gonna get really real here. We both come from Campus Crusade. Campus Crusade for Christ. It's a great ministry, and I tell people that I became a believer because I was dating a pretty girl, and they always went after the pretty girls on campus first. And I, so that happened to be, I know that's not true, and that God called me for the foundation of the earth and all of that, but it is kind of an interesting story. However, one of the things that they had us do when we were doing our training out there in Arrowhead Springs, California, was, take a huge long drive to the Southern California beaches, and we would, in pairs, go witnessing. to people and talk to them and see how many people we could get to say the prayer that made them believers. And then we would come back and have a big conclave, and people would get up and tell how many people they led to the Lord. And I remember, you know, I was a pretty good little salesman, always have been. And so I had like 35. And later thought, I don't know who any of these people are. I don't know anything about any of it. You know, I got them to say a little prayer with me on the beach, and that was it. And what does that mean, if anything? I felt quite certain it didn't mean that they really were believers. And, you know, consequently, I've never really done all of that, you know, well, it, you know, it's up to us to go tell everybody. And if we don't tell them, then they're going to go to hell. Because I just don't really think that I have that kind of power.
Yeah, that's sort of news to Jesus that we have to help him out. I remember those times. I usually didn't really like to have other people with me because they slowed me down. But I remember coming up to groups of people and flipping out the four laws, which is what the little booklet is. You have them read. And you have to be a blithering idiot not to agree that you don't want your life all messed up and you would like to have your life really in order, right? So when you go, which circle does best represent your life? I mean, which do you want to represent your life? Well, you know, it's like, you can have this very delicious dessert, or you can have something which is much less delicious, all right? And which would you like to have? Well, you know, that's just the way it is, all right? We are not selling Jesus. That's the one of the things that we have to understand. If we have come up with some kind of scheme to get people to buy Jesus, we have really messed up, and we probably aren't leading that many really to him. I have a lot of friends who are in the ministry, and I know they work real hard at doing what they do, but I'm not really sure that they're really getting stuff done that they need to in this process, because if God is not calling a person, I don't care what he does, they're not in the kingdom, period. And our job is to help them recognize if they are being called and then get out of the way and let them respond to him in the story. At least that's my take on it.
Well, the other thing is that, you know, if you are walking with the Lord, it makes you an attractive person. If you're trying to walk with him and are not, that's the most unattractive person there is, because it's phony and it's disingenuous and it makes people hypocritical and it's repulsive and they react to it, and it's probably the biggest impediment for people actually reaching out to the Lord.
I agree.
At least go ahead.
Well, so the long short of it is it begins with God and it ends with God, and he's the one that has to bring us along. And the moment we begin to ease into being the one who's doing this stuff, I remember I used to go to a church, and when people would visit the church, the next Monday, somebody had made a real nice loaf of bread, and we were to take that loaf of bread out to these people and thank them for coming to church and seeing what we could get done in that process. And I thought, well, this is not terribly bad, because at least I end up with a loaf of bread. But, we're not We're not even called to be selling this stuff. We're called to be sensitive to what God is doing in our life and communicating that to people in the story. So,
I wonder how the Great Commission, which is to disciple, became so twisted in a sense that it became evangelism, because evangelism and discipling are not the same thing.
Well, but you can't count disciples. You can count people who say they accept Jesus.
You can't count disciples. Yeah. Well,
it's too complex a deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. That's exactly right. And this has long been a difficult thing. Now, as long as we're talking about these things, there's another one that I want to bring up, and that is knowing your spiritual gift and using it. And I went to a church where they went to extraordinary lengths to have people fill out questionnaires, and they did an evaluation at the end of which they told you what your spiritual gift was. And they became offended when I used one word to describe it: nonsense. And I absolutely believe that. It seems to me as if that's not something that is I don't think you can quantify in material terms a spiritual gift. Do you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't occur to me to get caught off in the weeds like that, because if you get up in the morning and you begin to seek the Lord and see what He has for you and follow Him, and I think you're going to end up pretty much the same place that you need to be. Now, one of the things that happens, especially to young people, is we objectify what they're doing and how they're doing it. I have a young man who is my son who is at this stage of his life having to do some things which are not particularly, in the world's view, very profitable for him. But, and he has people around him who tell him that he's not with it, right? The fact of the matter is, who said who's with it and who's not with it? I mean, where do we get that deal, right? I have other children I have children who are very astute, very bright, have nice jobs, et cetera, but I don't know that. I mean, if I had to go to battle with somebody, I would go to battle with the first kid, because I know the first kid knows how to pray and hear from God. Now, I think that's what we ought to be teaching our kids, not the world's way of judging what they're doing. That's another of my two cents, all right?
I think that that's a really good point, Robert. What we do is we invite Christ to come into our lives, so we go from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive, and then we try and quantify and objectify our spirituality based upon what we understand about the world rather than what we understand about God's Spirit and how He leads us and how things are very different once you become a believer. So we become in one sense careless, because we know that God does things differently than a an accountant would do. Accountants, you know, they just go right down the list, boom, 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 boom. But my experience with the Lord over many years is that he does things entirely differently than I ever think, and I can never corner him. I can't ever just, like, say, okay, well, I know God's going to do this this way this time. Because then, as soon as I do, you know, it never happens like that again. He just isn't like that. And knowing that is freeing, or can be freeing, if we allow it to be, which really is living in faith.
I agree.
And if we, when we try and quantify these things, we're really trying to bring Almighty God into our understanding of what we think he should be, rather than trying to turn it the other way and say, I am finite, I cannot understand who you are, but I do know that you love me and that I can put my faith and trust in you, and I don't have any other choice. And any time I say, well, I'm going to do it my way, I get my rear end beat anyway.
Yep. Yep.
I know that's
pretty
true.
Much. Yeah.
We have.
I think if we would just look at back at our life and instead of trying to figure out what can we do, figure out what didn't work, right? And that's a good clue. There's no really reason to continue doing what doesn't work with God, because you think he'll give in at some point in time. So,
well, I've done that, and we mentioned it last week, and it was I'll bring it back up again, and that was I remember I married a girl, really knowing it wasn't God's will, but saying once I'm married to her, he'll honor it. He never did. And you know, your response to that was, well, he did one thing. He made you miserable. Or watched you be miserable.
He told you not to do that again.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, usually people learn their lesson the first time. Smart people do. Some of us require a little longer. That's just the way life is, Robert. Don't judge me.
That's pretty much it. So, Stacy, how are you feeling?
As long as I don't move, I'm okay.
You do what now?
As long as I don't move, I'm okay. If I move, it's like I'm being stabbed.
Well, don't move.
I know.
There you go.
Now, that's what I said. As long as I don't move, I'm okay.
Okay. Well, bless your heart. Stacy broke, what, 3 ribs last night?
Cracked them.
Cracked.
Have a mild concussion, and I think that my eye will be black as well as 2 big goose eggs on my forehead.
Boy, that's a tough one. And one of the things, you still got to look at the computer for the people who are calling in you know, to talk to her about our book, which are at www.mcgeeandme.net. And the phone number that they could call you at, Stacy, is what?
800-460-4673.
And that's a wrap for today, folks. And you know, just, you know, Stacy, be careful, take care of yourself. Robert, thank you. This was a really good talk that we had, and you know, stay tuned for, you know, our conversation in 15 minutes. You'll be getting a call from a number in Texas. All right, so let me just say thank you, Robert. Thank you, Stacy.
Thank you.
Good night. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.